Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
It's Murder Monday. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give out tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. Take down this number. You never know when you're going to need it. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Liv the Web Girl, what are you doing today for Murder Monday?
Today, I'm talking about the stories of Dolores De La Penna. So our story starts on the night of July 11th, 1972. Dolores De La Penna was 17 years old and was on her way home from hanging out with her friends and eagerly trying to make it in time for her midnight curfew. Although, she never did make it back to her home in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Dolores had just graduated high school with honors and had plans to work at a nearby hospital starting in the fall as an X-ray technician. During that summer, her parents gave her money to rent an apartment in Wildwood Crest, New Jersey, along with three other girls as a last summer fun before adulthood began for them. She confided in her 19-year-old older brother that the apartment wasn't as fun as she hoped it would be. She tried to stay out of the apartment as much as she could. She found out her parents were planning a trip to Disney World and insisted on going so she could get some time away from her summer apartment. And despite not enjoying her time there, she had plans to return to the summer getaway when she got back from Disney. On July 11th, the day after they got back, she decided to go out with her friend and go over to her friend's fiance's house. On the way back, Dolores and her friend took a train together, but they parted ways when Dolores took the trolley that would take her back to her parents' place. The trolley driver remembered picking her up and said that she was ducking down below the windows until he dropped her off at her stop around 11:50 to 11:55 p.m. The police suggested that she could have been hiding from a car that was driving behind them, but the trolley driver did not recall anyone following them. Once she got off the trolley, she was only four blocks away from her parents' house. When she didn't come home, the De La Penna family called the police. The police days later went door to door interviewing 35 different family members, neighbors, and loved ones. Several neighbors told the police that they had heard screams on the night of July 11th around midnight, and six neighbors said they even witnessed the abduction firsthand. All six witnesses had different stories. One claims they saw one man, another says there were three men. Some say that she was dragged across the street, and another resident said she was stuffed into a car. Even with all six of these eyewitnesses, none of them called the police. Some said they thought it was a domestic dispute, and others said they were simply too scared to. The police found spots of blood on the pavement about a block away from Dolores' home, along with her jacket and her crucifix. And despite all the evidence, police didn't have a lot of clues of what happened and didn't have any leads. They didn't have any suspects, and they weren't sure if she was taken by someone she knew or if it was a random person. It wasn't until July 22nd, 11 days after Dolores went missing, that her body was found. Well, part of it. While a man was walking his dog in the woods about 50 miles from where the De La Penna family lived, he found the arms and torso of a female's body. Ugh. The arms were not attached to the torso, and the head and legs were nowhere to be found. He found the remains only 15 feet from an intersection, indicating someone had dumped the body parts in a car and sped away. The torso was badly mutilated and decomposed. The innards were removed, and there was an additional wound to the center of her chest.
Ugh.
The hands were mangled, and the pads of the fingers were carefully sliced off so she couldn't be identified by fingertip.
Okay.
This is horrific.
I need like a breakfast warning next time.
Yes, sorry, guys.
Too many details.
I'm sorry. It's Murder Monday. I feel like you could always expect that. A doctor took a scan of the spine of the body that was found and compared it to Dolores' spine from a scan she had done 2 years prior. The spines were an identical match, and they realized that they found part of the body of 17-year-old Dolores De La Pena. An autopsy revealed that she had been dead for 2 weeks. At this time, friends who were silent before started coming forward to talk about the case and discuss what was happening in that New Jersey apartment that had Dolores so uneasy. When we come back, I will tell you what was going on in that apartment and how it can be linked to her death.
We have photos up on our Instagram. Liv the Web Girl, tell us about those today. What are we doing for Murder Monday?
So today for Murder Monday, we're talking about the story of Dolores De La Pena, a 17-year-old that went missing, mm-hmm. and weeks later, part of her body was found. It was revealed after her body was found that summer apartment in Wildwood Crest had become a hub for drug use and drug trafficking. This was very different from the straight-laced life that Dolores led. One of her friends said that many frightening people would constantly stop by the apartment. Although police looked at some of these people that were mentioned, they determined none of them were suspects. And then on July 29, 1972, 1 week after the discovery of the torso and arms, an elderly man taking his daily walk discovered the legs belonging to Dolores. Both legs were badly decomposed, but the toenail polishes matched the polish of the fingernails that they had found earlier. Mrs. De La Pena had told the police it was her favorite color, and she constantly wore it. The legs were found just 8 miles from where her other body parts were discovered a week before. The police were able to take all the stories they had heard from eyewitnesses and get a better picture of what happened. There was a man that was pretending to work on his car for over an hour, but was really just waiting for Dolores. She was grabbed from behind and immediately went limp. They think she either got choked or struck from behind. The man put her in the car and drove away. It was August at this point, and they had a description of the man, but didn't have much luck in finding a suspect. The case was getting more and more difficult as time went on. Investigators had interviewed 1,526 people in relation with the murder.
That is insane. Yes, I mean, I don't know much about investigating, but I thought you'd be like 105 people. I'm like, well, no. That's a lot of witnesses.
But this is so gruesome. I mean, yes. Body parts found in different locations.
Right. And still, the only solid lead they had was the description of the man. Years passed and many leads came up, but then shortly dried up afterwards. Investigators even looked at the possibility of serial killers Ted Bundy and Buffalo Bill, but both of those were ruled out because the times didn't match up. It's now 1988, and the head of the Philadelphia investigation team listed the murder as unsolved, and the case went cold. It wasn't until 1992 when inmates in a Philadelphia prison came forward with more information. With all of their testimonies, they put together what can be the closest thing to an explanation of what happened the night Dolores went missing. When Dolores was living in the drug hub apartment in New Jersey, there was a big shipment of drugs that went missing. Because Dolores was out of town and her other three roommates were scared, they blamed it on her, even though we can rule her out as having any part in this. That's when drug dealers wanted to give her a scare and pay the $200 for the drugs that went missing. They kidnapped her, put her in a garage, sexually assaulted her, and beat her. There were 4 gang members there all taking part, and one of the men even had a machete. That's when one of the 4 who was high on LSD insisted on him taking part in scaring her next. He attempted to chop off her arm with the machete, but struck too hard and gashed her chest.
Ugh.
He got scared And that's when he chops off her head, killing her. It's said that she was never meant to die, but the high drug dealer took it too far.
You think?
That's when they dismembered her and cut her limb by limb. And members from a motorcycle gang said they'd help to get rid of her body. It was 1996, and this story had come out, and the police had 9 possible suspects. 2 were already in jail for murder. 4 had already died. So there were only 3 live and free suspects. The DA said there wasn't enough evidence to issue an arrest warrant because all they had was the testimony from inmates. And all 3 suspects are still unidentified to the public and remain free from charges for the murder of Dolores De La Penna.
That's just an insane speculation of how it all would have went down.
The case remains unsolved, and Mr. and Mrs. De La Penna passed away before they could ever see any justice done for the murder of their 17-year-old daughter.
See, I hate these kinds of Murder Mondays. First of all, they're gruesome, but like, there's no resolution. We don't actually know officially what happened. Right. Nobody has been brought to justice.
Right. So it's still unsolved. No one has ever been arrested or charged for the murder of Dolores.
That is horrible. And that was so grotesque. I was thinking about diving into cupcakes we have here in studio. Yeah. And now I don't need them. No, I can't eat them.
It's a little hard to eat breakfast after that. Yeah. But if you want to go see a picture of Dolores, we have newspaper articles, pictures of them posted up at our Instagram at Radio Now AM Show.
Live the web, girl. Thank you so much.
That was intense.
I'm about to murder those cupcakes, though. I don't even mind.